Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Three Tune Tuesday for the second Tuesday of Halloween. We are, in fact, in the second week of the Halloween season. Here at Blind Skeleton, we firmly believe that if Christmas can have an entire season, then so can Halloween. I am your host, Victor of Doom. You are listening to Blind Skeleton 1 online radio. Thank you very much for joining us and opting to spend part of your lunch hour with us. So this last week in the Blind Skeleton household has been a very progressive and fun one. We are in the second week of Halloween, and we have been engaging in Halloweenish activities, so to speak. We got to venture through Amish country last Saturday, down in the southeastern portion of Pennsylvania. Beautiful, beautiful area of land, particularly when it's beginning to turn into autumn with all of the changing colors of the trees, and you see the harvest begin to come in. And a number of Amish farmers will have roadside carts with their wares out for sale. And we like to go up and travel around, see what they have to sell. And invariably, we come back with a boatload, or in our case, a trunkload of pumpkins for rather inexpensive price. $30 got us a good 10, 12 pumpkins of various sizes. Some small sugar pumpkins for baking, some larger ones for carving, some different sizes just for decorating. I do like to bake with pumpkin from scratch here in the house, so in the foreseeable future there will be pumpkin pies, pumpkin muffins, and various other pastries along the way. I'm looking forward to it. It's super, super tasty. The big news of the week, however, was the treasure trove of new records that we were able to find. The Blind Skeleton household came across a fellow who was cleaning out his father's house and was just looking to have items removed. He was not looking to make money or try to sell or anything of the sort. We were able to get in on this and came home with 5 or 6 milk cartons, milk crates of 78 RPM records. Some crates were full, some maybe half full. Rough estimate is we were looking at somewhere between 500 to 600 records. Just a huge treasure trove of goodies and goodness for us. It's going to take quite some time to sort through and catalog them all. To date, we have already separated them into various labels: Victor, Victrola, Columbia, Brunswick, so on and so forth. Found some gems already. The big surprise for me was we finally have some Jelly Roll Morton albums. I have not had any before now. We did clean some up, played them. They sound absolutely magnificent on the orthophonics that we have upstairs. Found a couple of others which have made their way into the playlist for the week. You know, I am playing out 3 Halloween-inspired songs this week, next week and the week after. I did already have them laid out for the upcoming weeks, but with the goodies that we found this last weekend, we're making a change to the lineup, and I'm going to share with you a few goodies that we found on Sunday. So I'm just going to stop babbling. We're going to get right into it with a song on the Victor label. It's a foxtrot by the original Dixieland Jazz Band entitled, fittingly enough for the season, Skeleton Jangle. Or if you will give me just a moment, as soon as I flipped that turntable on, I discovered that I had neglected to put a stylus into the needle. I need just one moment here. I shall poke myself to make sure it is fully inside, and here we go now. For sure this time, Skeleton Jangle. And that was Skeleton Jangle, the original Dixieland jazz band, played on my Victrola VV35. That is a suitcase portable Victrola, portable phonograph. I can pick it up, carry it around with me. It is one of the older ones, pre-orthophonic. And it's got a nice number 2 reproducer on it for anyone who's interested in that type of information. So one of the next record that we're going to play is first of two parts. It is Orpheus in Hades. This is from the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. It's a pretty old record as well. Now, many of you, I'm sure, are familiar, at least in part, with a number of Greek myths. This one is certainly inspired by it. And the nice thing about Halloween, of course, is that everything devilish and ghoulish and demonic gets to come out and play, but also everything else gets to come out and play as well. Halloween is definitely a come-as-you-are-and-do-what-you-want-to-do type holiday. If you want it to be scary, it can be scary. If you want it to be funny, it can be funny. And this record definitely does fall into that category. Now, the name of this particular song got me thinking not that long ago about one of my favorite stories that I've read on the internet. Scary little story. I wish I could claim ownership of this one. It's not mine, it's just something that I remember. And the story is about a person who had a phone, had a mobile phone. And the person, male, was going to go out on a date, on a blind date. And about 30 minutes before going out on the date, received a text on the phone that said, "Don't go." And that was it. 2 minutes later, another text, "Do not go on the date." And the person was not sure what was going on. The return number on it was one of the bogus numbers that a lot of us get quite often. And as it turned out, he was running very late anyway and did not make it to the restaurant on time. By the time he got to the restaurant, he saw that there were a number of police cars on the street right outside, and that a shooter had gone inside and began to shoot. As it turns out, his date was fine, but the chair that he would have been sitting in had been shot. There was a hole in the back of the chair where a bullet would have hit. So that was a little eerie for him. Now, as he continued to progress through college, you know, various other things like this would happen. Do this, don't do that, you know, don't go on that road trip. And he would not go on the road trip and then would learn later that something horrendous had happened. Or do this, and he would follow the instructions, and sure enough, before the decade was out, he ended up very happily married with a baby on the way. And, you know, all was turning up roses for him. His wife went to her mom's for a baby shower. Her mom was hosting the baby shower. And his friends grabbed him and took him out to the bar to go drink, to celebrate, you know, all the good things that were happening. And they just showed up at his house, and they grabbed him, and off they went, the way that guys are wont to do. And they stayed out, and they had a really, really good time. So good, in fact, that he finally made it back home, and he realized as he got home, oh shit, you know, the reason my wife didn't call me, tell me how things are going, was I left my phone at home. So he walked through the house, found his phone sitting on the counter, looked at it, and there was one text: "Don't go home." And that is the end of the story. So that story always kind of gives me the creeps. Spiders crawling up my back type feeling. Very eerie. I like it. Very suitable for a campfire story. And I wish I was sitting around a campfire, because I could probably give a little more ambience to that story than what I was able to over the radio here. So, progressing on, we are moving now from my spooky little story back to our music for the day. This is part one of two. This is part one of Orpheus in Hades. Thank you. So if that didn't seem particularly frightening to you for a Halloween song, and for a song entitled Orpheus in Hades, which is actually the name of the original opera, well, there's a reason for that. Orpheus in Hades is not the... It's based off the original Greek myths, but it is not the original Greek myth. This was written in the time of Napoleon in France, and it is a satire. It, in fact, earned the wrath of a lot of aristocrats in France, thinking it was a knock on them. The story of Hades, of Orpheus in Hades, is that Orpheus and his wife Eurydice don't necessarily like each other. Orpheus is in love with a seamstress, and Eurydice is in love with a farmhand. It turns out that the farmhand is in fact Pluto, you know, or Hades, if you will. Pluto is the romanticized version of the Greek god Hades. And Pluto and Orpheus conspire to have Eurydice murdered by poison snakes. This makes them both happy. In fact, makes Eurydice happy when she learns that she'll be going to live forever with this person who she has fallen in love with. So she writes a note to Orpheus saying that she has been detained and will not be home. Story progresses, and Orpheus, through the will of public opinion, is compelled to try and go win his wife back. Various other hijinks ensue. Finally, after meeting the Greek gods and having Jupiter show up in Hades to try and resolve the issue, Jupiter, being what Jupiter or Zeus is like, decides that he also is in love with Eurydice and wants her for himself, and proceeds to try to sneak her out as well. So the subplot of the record that we have is finally when Orpheus enters Hades, which is actually near the end of the entire opera. Despite what the opera is named, he doesn't get to Hades until the very end. Hijinks are ensuing. Eurydice is looking to break out. Pluto is looking to keep her and thwart Jupiter. Neither of them really care about Orpheus all that much. And during it all, Eurydice ends up breaking into a dance number with a lot of the other Greek goddesses, which I am sure you will notice at the point in the song when this happens. When the song is over, I will let you know exactly how the story ends. Enjoy part two of Orpheus Enters Hades.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. That is the end of Orpheus inside Hades. The story has a small little bit to go after that. The story from this point forward is that Eurysides and Orpheus make up. They decide they do love each other. They want to spend the rest of their lives together. Jupiter is not too happy about this for all of the trouble that he's gone through. So he tells Orpheus, fine, take her, but you must walk in front of her on the way out of Hades, and you must not look back at her or you will lose her forever. And Orpheus is doing just that. Jupiter realizes he's about to lose this woman, summons down a strike of lightning behind Orpheus, who of course gets startled, jumps, and looks behind him to see what's going on, spots his wife, who suddenly disappears. Kind of a tragic ending to the story. Kind of fun in a way, since Orpheus returns back home and enjoys the rest of his life with his seamstress anyway. So, that brings us to the end of Three Tune Tuesday for October the 11th, our second Tuesday of the Halloween season. Thank you for spending your lunch hour with me. I certainly enjoy talking to you and hearing feedback. Please do shoot me feedback if you would like to. You can reach me on Discord. Should you know where I am there, you can reach me on Twitter @skeleton_1. Love to read tweets, see what's going on out in the Twitterverse. Please do join me again next week. I've got 3 more songs to share with you, and then another 3 after that, all Halloween-inspired. Some getting a little spookier as we get closer to the big date. Coming up next, at the bottom of the hour, we have Broadway Is My Beat, and please do tune back in every night from now through Halloween, starting at 5 o'clock. We have not but spooky stories and spooky old-time radio to share with you. We've got The Shadow. We have next week Murder on the Orient Express. We'll have Frankenstein coming up. Please do tune in, have it run in the background. It is all ad-free, just here for your enjoyment. Taking us into the bottom of the hour is the Story Lady telling us her rendition of the Lost Continent of Atlantis.
It's time now for another visit with a Story Lady.
Hello, children. Today we're going to hear the story I call The Lost Continent of Atlantis. Once upon a time, a very long, long time ago, somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean west of Gibraltar, there was a mighty kingdom known as Atlantis. Atlantis was very rich and very powerful and was blessed with every beauty that any land could ever have. But the citizens of Atlantis were very, very wicked. Each day they spent more and more of their time cheating and stealing from their fellow man. Soon Atlantis was known far and wide as the most evil and immoral of all lands, and was such a disgrace that all the gods on Mount Olympus decided that Atlantis could no longer be a blot on the face of the earth. And so they sent a great disaster, and the entire kingdom of Atlantis sank to the bottom of the sea, severely injuring Richard Basehart, Lloyd Bridges, and a couple of herring.
Thank you, Story Lady. Be listening next time, boys and girls, when the Story Lady will tell you how to get into a pay toilet without a dime.